I got a word in me. So praise the Lord. Father, we come before you this morning giving you honor, glory, and praise. We want to say thank you, Lord, for being God and God alone. You are worthy, Lord, and we love you. And Lord, you said if we love you, we will keep your commandments. We will obey you. So Lord, I just want to say thank you for making it possible that we can be holy as you are holy. You said in your word, you'll never leave us and never forsake us. So Lord, let us remember that all the times, even when we're in the storms of life and the conflicts, oh Lord, that know that you're right there with us going through it. Lord, I pray for the nation of Ukraine. I ask, oh Father God, that you will stop this atrocity in the Ukraine, oh Lord Jesus, that you'll put a hedge of protection around the people and the properties, that you move upon the heart of Putin, that he will bring these troops out of Ukraine, oh Father God, and bring peace. We pray, Father God, for this nation that we live in, the greatest nation in the world, United States of America. Lord, we thank you, Father God, for the freedoms and the liberties and the blessings that you blessed us with. But Lord, we have to ask for forgiveness of this nation. We have turned from you. We have forsaken you. Even though, Lord, you will never forsake us, this country has forsaken you. So, Lord, we ask, Father God, that you will just pour out your spirit upon this nation to bring us to our knees of repentance and confession of wrongdoings, oh, Father God, that we're calling wrong right in this nation, Lord. So, Lord, we ask, Father God, for a Holy Spirit revival, that people will be transformed and changed forever. Oh, Lord Jesus, that we will start to be a nation, one nation under God again. Lord, we need a blessing in this nation. So, Lord, forgive us. But, Lord, we're asking for revival, a true revival. Lord, I pray for our children. I commit all of our children unto you. Set them apart that they will serve you all the days of their life, not get caught up in the snares and the traps of this enemy. I pray for our soldiers, each and every one of our troops. We honor them, Lord. We ask, Father God, for those who are in harm's way to deploy, that you put a hedge of protection around them and provide and protect the family members. So, Lord, we thank you for our soldiers. We thank you, Father God, for our law enforcement, military, our fire department, Lord, our medical staffs. Just be with them. Have your way here today. Lord, let us hear your word today. Lord, let us not have no distractions. Let us, Father God, have a mind that we can be stayed on you. That this word that we hear today, Lord, will transform our lives. And that we won't walk out the way we walked in. In Jesus' name, amen. If you turn your Bibles to the book of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 17. When you get there, say amen. 2 Corinthians verse 3 and chapter 3, verse 17. When you get to say amen. Now the Lord is the Spirit. Now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all with open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Let me read that again. So many times when we read things, we just read over them and we don't get a meaning out of it. What does that mean? I'm glad you asked me. It says, now the Lord, that Spirit. There's a lot of spirits out here. Do you know that? There's a lot of spirits out here. But we're talking about the true Spirit of God. And it says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There's freedom. There's a doctrine and a thing going around that's called progressive Christianity today. And what that is they're saying that, you know, the Spirit of the Lord, there's freedom in Christ to live any kind of way you want to. There's freedom to live any kind of way you want to, because Jesus Christ died for all the sins, and so therefore your sins are forgiven, so you can just live any kind of way you want to, which is a lie. It's a lie. It's a deception. No, you cannot live any kind of way that you want to. We have to live the way that God wants us to, for those of us who are in Christ. If the Spirit of Christ is in us, we will live the way that He wants us to live. Not the world, not the government, or not even the way some denominations want you to live, but the way that the Word of God says it wants you to live. You know, once we come to Christ, and it says, and the Spirit of Christ comes into us, we have that liberty. The liberty to do what? The liberty to serve Jesus Christ. The liberty to be joyful in the midst of things. To have that peace that surpasses all understanding. To have the liberty to have the power and authority that Jesus has given us. To walk in the righteousness of Jesus. Not to be walking in fear. Because God didn't give us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. There's so many today that's walking in fear. Might be one or two of you here that might be walking in fear. Well, you know, if I walk into the grocery stores, what's going to happen to us as it happened in Buffalo? If I send my child to school tomorrow, is my child going to come home to me alive? Why, sitting in church here, is somebody going to come up the steps and do something to us? Let me tell you something. All of that has happened, and all of that could happen. But let me tell you something. If you're a Christian and you have the Spirit of God within you, let me tell you something. You're in a win-win situation. You hear me? So why should we be fearful? Be absent from the body, be present with the Lord. Amen. We won't have them old hurts no more. You know, I don't know about y'all, but my knee hurt, my back hurt, my shoulder hurt. I woke up this morning, my wrist was hurting. I'm thinking, Lord, what's going on here? But what I'm saying is, we should not have any fear of anything, because we have victory in Jesus. We have victory in Jesus. Now, remember this what I'm saying here, and it says, but we all with open faces, behold, as in the glass of glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image of from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. It's only by the Spirit of the Lord. It's not by you trying to do or something. It's not by somebody telling you that, you know, that you're this and you're that. Once the Spirit of the Lord within you, we are changed. But everybody don't change at the same speed, do we? It's a process that we go through. It's a process that we go through. Now turn your Bibles to the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel 37. And we all know about Ezekiel. There's a song, I think, Ezekiel in the Wheel, isn't it? Isn't that a song? Old song. So I want to talk about the vision that God gave Ezekiel. God gave Ezekiel a vision of dry bones. We want to talk about the dry bones this morning, because a lot of us got some dried bones. When you get this, amen. And the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord and carried me out of the Spirit of the Lord. Remember we talked about in 2 Corinthians about the Spirit of the Lord? Here we are again about the Spirit of the Lord. And set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones. And caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there was very many in the open valley. And lo, they were very dry. Not just dry, they were very dry. I don't know about you, but there's times when, you know, I have, you know, garbage or whatever. And I have bones, what kind of bones, whatever I have. And I'll put them in the trash can or something, and if they're there for a little while, you know, you go to put them in the garbage thing, and the bones have dried out. There's no moisture in them. There's no life in them. A dry bone is something that's dead. And it says, and he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? God asked this man a question. Can these bones live? Let's see what he said. And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. So what he was saying was, I'm looking at something that's dead. I'm looking at something that's been dead for a long time because it's very dry bones. They've been dead for a long time. And Lord, I know you, and I know that all things are possible for those who believe. But what I'm seeing with my natural eye, and it looks like nothing can come of these dry bones. These things have not only been dry, they've been dead for a long, long time. So, Lord, you know if these dry bones can live again. You know it. When he asked Peter, Peter, do you love me? Yes, I love you. Peter, do you love me? Yes, I love you. Peter, do you love me? What did Peter say? Lord, you know that I love you. You know that I love you. So he said, Lord, you know that these bones can live. And then he says, again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones and say unto them, O you dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. And he said unto them, speak to them. I want you to speak to this dead thing. These dead things. All these things were dead. Nothing was living. Everything was dead. And God says, I want you to speak to these bones what I tell you to say. Not what you think. Because what you think is that there's no hope. There's no hope because these things have been dead for a long time. But he says, well, this is what I want you to do. I want you to do what I tell you to do. Thus says the Lord God unto these bones. Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live. And you shall know that Pastor is right. Ain't that what it said? What did it say? It says, and you shall know that I am the Lord, not the pastor, not the church, not your mama or your daddy or your husband and your wife, but I am the Lord. Once again, there's only one God, only one true God, you know, only one living God. Now, who did he say in Genesis that he would breathe upon and they would live? Adam. He created him out of the dust of the ground. He created a body. But he says, you cannot live until I breathe the breath of life in you. So he says, what I'm going to do is, I'm going to put you together. And it says, so I prophesied. So he obeyed God. Listen to what I'm saying, church. God told him to do this, which looked impossible to have. But he says, but I did what God told me to do. Even though it seems silly, it seemed like it's not going to work. There's no life in them. I've never seen anything like this before or heard of anything like this. But because you, God, told me to do it, I'm going to do it. Even if it makes me look silly. Even if I don't even believe it. I'm going to obey you, Lord. Obey God and leave the consequences to him. Church. Then he says, and I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise. Wait a minute. I'm in a valley where everything is dead. God told me to do something that don't make no sense, but I'm going to do it. And when I start doing what God said for me to do, something started happening. I'm starting to hear something. Jay Dugan. I'm hearing something. Out of all this stuff here that's been dead for years, I'm starting to hear something now. And behold, a shaking. Not only am I hearing something, now I'm seeing something happen. Now I'm hearing it, now I'm seeing it. The impossible. And it says, behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. See, these bones were scattered. They were buried dry. They were all over the valley. They had been taken away from each part of each body. But he said, I heard a noise, and I saw a shaking. And he says, and all of a sudden, the bones start coming together to where they were supposed to be. I don't know about you, but by that time, I'd probably get my hat. I'm like, Lord, have mercy. But God didn't give a spirit of fear, did he? I just said that, didn't I? But anyway, and it says, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And then I beheld, lo, the sinew. And you know what behold mean? I beheld? I can see it. I heard it. I'm seeing the bones coming together. And now I'm seeing what God told me. He said, not only the bones are coming together, now the skeleton men. Let me say something to y'all. You know, I know these skeletons and stuff are very popular these days. But what does a skeleton represent? Death. Don't be wearing no shirts with no skeletons on them, because it represents death. But it's so much of this that's going out now, everybody got a skeleton on everything. I saw a guy with a truck the other day. He had skeletons all over his truck. And these kids are wearing these skeletons on their shirts, and they got lunchbox with skeletons. Don't give your children no skeleton clothes. It means death. That's something we should not be a part of, is dealing with that. And it has a little bit more stuff to get to. I ain't going to get into all of that, what the skeletons represent also. But, you know, don't be wearing no skeletons, and don't buy your kids no skeletons. And then it says, and behold, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them from above, and there was no breath in them. The skeletons turned into bodies. Muscles came on. Skin came on. They became whole bodies, but they still was not alive. God brought them back to them being bodies. The bones that were separated, they came together. God said, I'm going to make them live. He said, but first of all, it's a process that I have to go through. You see, he could have done like that and they could have just all been alive. But he wanted to show us that there's a process that we have to go through when God wants to use us. And then he says, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. Now, he told him to do something that was crazy the first time. He did it, and he saw what God said to do. It came to life. He saw that what God told him to do that looked impossible to him became possible with God. So what do you think about he did this time? Oh, God told him to prophesy to the wind. So you know he's speaking to the wind now with confidence. He's speaking to the wind now, knowing that he knows that he knows that he did this, what God told him, and that happened. So now I'm going to do this, what God told me, because I know he did it before. He's going to do it again. Don't miss that, church. Don't miss that, church. That as I obeyed God in the past, I saw things change. So now in the future, when God tells me to do something, I'm going to do it. I'm not going to hesitate no more. I'm not going to have no sense of, well, I don't know if this is going to happen. I don't know if this is going to work. It don't make no sense. Now that you see it makes sense, now you see that the things that God had told you, it is real. Now we can prophesy and speak in confidence, in boldness. You hear what I'm saying? In boldness, in confidence, knowing that God did it then and he's going to do it now. Don't miss that, church. And then it says, and I prophesied, verse 10, so I prophesied as he commanded me. Notice what he said, as he commanded me, as he told me, I obeyed him. As he told me to do, I obeyed. Even though it might not seem right, might seem crazy, I'm obeying him. And it says, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood up on their feet, an exceeding great army. And he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried, and our hope is lost, but we are cut off from our parts. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come out, and your graves, and bring you into a land of Israel. And you should know that I am the Lord. Not the pastor, not the church, but you will know that I am the Lord. How would you know that I am the Lord? Because something was dead, and now it's alive. Something ceased to live, didn't function, but now it is. So Lord, you know, I done went to Dr. Phil. I done read Oprah's book. I done went to all these different conventions and all these type of things. But Lord, only you are the true God who can change me, can make me live again. So now, he says, and you should know that I'm the Lord God, and when I have opened the graves and my people and brought them out of the graves, and you should put, and shall put my spirit, should put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I shall place you in the land, then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, says the Lord. You will know that it's God when things start happening. Notice progression. He heard it. He heard a moving around at first when he obeyed God. After he heard something, he saw something. He saw the bones start coming to each other. See, there was division. There was separation. But our God is a God of reconciliation, ain't he? Some of you might have relationships that have been fractured, that have been separated in your lives. Some of you might have been living whereas, you know, things you say, well, this is dead. It hadn't happened in so many years, so this thing is dead. So let me move on. I'm here to tell you today that God can make them dead things alive if it's his will. If it's his will. So they saw. He heard first, and then he saw. And then the next thing you know, exceedingly great army standing alive in the valley of dry bones. Not valley of dry bones no more. The valley of the living souls. You understand what I'm saying? Some of you have had dreams, hopes, aspirations that have dried up. And you say, well, these things are dead and they're gone. I'm here to tell you today, if it's of God, he will bring that thing to pass. If it's of God, those dry things that you thought was gone, that was dead long time ago, maybe some relationships that have been fractured, separated for whatever reason. If we do what God says, he said he'll bring them things together. I'm going to tell you, I need some with my family because I got some separation from some of my family. It's been fractured for years since I became a Christian. My hope is that one day we will be reconciled back together to be able to be there to love one another and that type of things. But it hadn't happened yet, but I'm still believing. As long as there's breath in me, I'm still believing. There's two key words on this, the word and the spirit. He spoke the word of God, and the spirit of God is the one who brought them things that was dead alive. But he had to speak it. God says, I want you to speak it. I want you to be my mouthpiece. How many of us do we speak to dead things, dead relationships, dead dreams, different things in our lives? How many times do we boldly speak those things to some of our family members that are not saved yet, who are doing the wrong things? Do we just let them go on the by and by, or do we speak? And I'm not talking about beating nobody over the head with the Bible. I'm not talking about that. But there's times in our life when we have discernment. As a matter of fact, I taught on discernment last Wednesday night at Bible study. Discernment is knowing what is of God and what is not of God. What is right and what is wrong. What is true and what is false. When we know that God is telling us to speak to somebody, do we do it? Because you saw what happened here when Ezekiel, when he obeyed God, things started happening. And God got the glory. He says, I'm doing this so not only you can know, but those around you, your family members who have written you off, the people who have been knowing you for years have said that you'll never be no good. You're always going to be a dope fiend. You're always going to be a convict. You're always going to be a liar. You're always going to be a thief. That's a lie from hell. If we start speaking those things, what God is telling us to do, and we will live for the Lord Jesus Christ. People, we need at all time today. Let me tell you something. The harvest is ripe. The harvest is ripe right now. With everything going on around the world, people are afraid. People are angry. People are bitter. People are confused. People are depressed. People are committing suicide and thinking about committing suicide. People need a hope. And his hope is in Jesus. And if Jesus is in you, you're the hope. You're the hope. But we can't sit back, church, and continue to let people just die and go to hell. We can't do that. We have an obligation. If you have been saved, you have an obligation. And I'm not talking about, like I say, beating people over the head or, judging people and all that kind of stuff, because all that's going to do is drive them away. But we can come in love. We can come in love and say, let me tell you something. I want you to know something. I love you. I love you, and I want you to know something, that I want you to have that joy, Penny. I want you to have that peace, because I know you've been going through it. I know you've been going through it. But God is saying he wants you to have that peace that surpasses all understanding. I know you've been hurt. I know that. But God wants you to have that peace and that joy, girl. And I'm speaking to you today, letting you know that it's possible for you. You hear what I'm saying? And not only you, I can go around the room. We have to start being obedient to the Spirit of God. We have to stop being in the closet, being a closet Christian. Everybody else out the closet. Everybody out the closet. But us, do people on your job know that you're a Christian? Yes. Does people in your school know you're a Christian? Yes. Praise the Lord. Matter of fact, when you go to school tomorrow, you stand up and say, Pastor Smith said, no, I'm not. Don't do that because they'll come at me. But what you can do is get your little friends when y'all having lunch and you let them know, hey, Jesus loves you. Do you know Jesus? Do you want to come to church with me this next Sunday? Huh? That's what you do. All right. Okay. So next Sunday, you're going to bring a friend. Okay. Praise the Lord. But anyway, see how that is. How old are you now? 16. I don't like that. Because I remember when they were little kids. Yeah, I remember when they were little kids. Now she coming to my, I'm 16 now. I wish I could turn it back. But you're going to be all right. Praise the Lord. But anyway, the Word and Spirit, two key words. Only Word and Spirit brings spiritual revival. You hear what I'm saying? Only the Word of God and the Spirit of God brings true, genuine revival. Because when you have true, genuine revival, you'll be just like these bones that was dead. Now, they just didn't live for a week or two and then go back to being dead, dry bones. When God told him to speak to those bones and those bones became bodies and then God breathed that breath of that spirit in them, they were changed forevermore. You hear what I'm saying? forevermore there was change. Not no 2 or 3 weeks. Not no getting real excited and all of this type of stuff. And then the next 2 or 3 weeks, you're right back in the old lifestyle that you live. Let me tell you something. When you truly have revival, when God truly comes into you, you will change. You will live just like them dry bones. You know what I'm saying, church? You will live. I can't tell you, I look at the people around here, and some of y'all, when y'all come in here, y'all was just like them dry bones. Lord have mercy. And now I'm seeing people who are living for the Lord Jesus Christ. They're standing tall. They have the breath of the Holy Spirit within them, and they're doing things, and they're moving and shaking for the Lord Jesus Christ. I can't tell you how many. I'm so proud of you. I am so proud of you. At the end of the month, I'm going to a pastor's conference. And, you know, every time I go there, they always ask, well, pastor, how many are you running at the church? Is your church growing? And I'm going to tell them, absolutely our church is growing. I don't count. Never have counted. I don't believe in that counting stuff. I'd much rather have 4 or 5 or 10 of y'all that's serving the Lord than have 1,000 of y'all out here doing whatever you want to do. That's what I call for church growth. When I see, just like he saw, beheld, these dry bones, now they're living. And it's so good to see y'all living for the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm so thankful. But we still got work to do, don't we? We all got some more work to do. We all still got some minds to be transformed every day. Unity in life to Jesus is not an event. It's a daily process. Moment by moment, obedience to God is practical righteousness. We got to stay focused, church. We have to stay focused. I'm going to give you 3 stages that would happen on this in this account here. The first one, they were scattered. They were separated. They were divided. Does it sound like something we're living in today? Our country is so separated. It is so divided. Families are fighting with family members because one might be an elephant and one might be a donkey. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Because one want to get a shot and the other one ain't going to get a shot. You know, there's so many things that families are fighting and feuding and mad at each other. There's so much division in this country. Oh, I hate you because you're black. Oh, I hate you because you're white. I hate you because you're Hispanic. I hate you because you're Jewish. There's so many separations. Thank God that we don't have that in our church here. Thank God that we don't have that here. Now, we have different opinions. We have different opinions and different things, but I have not detected any type of racism or anything like that in this church. And if you're sitting there, you're saying, well, what color is your pastor? Thank you, Richard. Just in case they didn't know. Thank you, Richard. But anyway, what I'm saying is, how can you be prejudiced and hate another race when you come in here when I'm tall? Now some of y'all getting it. Now some of y'all getting it. But praise the Lord. I love that. You know, when people, they ask me, well, where do you pastor? And I tell them, you know, the place. They say, they look at me like, really? I say, yeah. And a lot of them think that because I'm a tall person, everybody in the congregation is tall. And sometimes I see people when they walk through here, walk in the front door, and they look around, and they look at all the people, and they're like, everybody's not tall. We got a bunch of sharp people in here, too. But they all getting together. They will know we are Christians by what? By our love. And we love one another. Let me tell you something. We love one another. And I mean that. That's one thing I can say. We are a church who are known for love. The whosoever church, whosoever you are, you come. I don't care what you look like, what kind of clothes, how you smell, or anything else. We're going to love on you. We're going to respect you, and we're going to treat you with dignity and honor. Come here and give me a hug.
I love you.
Now, the last time I did that, I think I might have got a hernia. But anyway, we want, you know, and this is something else. I want y'all all to know that I love each and every one of you. And I mean that. I love each and every one of you. And I mean that. Now, some of y'all get on my nerve, but I still love you. I still love you. Don't I, Don Foot? All right. I kind of told some of y'all we got some issues in here, didn't I? Yeah. But anyway, we love each other, issues and all. We love one another. Now, let's talk about these dry bones. The dryness of the bones. Hopelessness. Hopelessness. Lifeless. No life in them. Feel doomed. Powerless. Helpless. Defeated. Unworthy. Useless. Dry bones. That's the definition. And there's more of dry bones. Once again, the three stages. They were scattered, they were separated, they were divided. Number two, they came together, they reconciled, they became unified in harmony with one another. And the third one, they were made alive. How did they get made alive? Spiritual awakening. On Tuesday nights, we have prayer meeting here. And we have a couple people, you know, when I ask about them what they want, they say, we need a church awakening. We need the church to be woke up. And the only way that we can have true revival in the spirit and awakening is a spiritual awakening. Where the church will wake up and do what God has called us to do. Speak to the dead things in people's lives. Speak to the things that look like that is not going to have any life or do anything. Speak to those things in the name of Jesus. Your children will one day serve the Lord. There's marriages that will be brought back together the way God wants you to be together. There's relationships that has been severed, that will be reconciled. Even if you have to go say, hey, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Or, I forgive you for what you've done to me. I forgive you. We have to do what God has called us to do, church. And if we do what God called, the same result will happen to the church and to our families, to our communities, and to this world as it did in this valley of dry bones. It said they all came together and they were made whole. And God said that this breath of life that I breathe in you will make you alive to serve me. We won't just sit in the pews week after week, month after month, year after year. And be quiet. Be quiet Christians. Be silent Christians. Be in the closet Christians. We got to come out, church. People need to know that there's hope. Especially in this day and hour. Especially in this day and hour. Every day, something else is going on. And people, once again, they are afraid. They're mad, they're confused, they're depressed, and there's so many other things that they're going through. But we as Christians should not have any of those type of things. We should have joy, unspeakable peace that surpasses understanding. And we have one thing that the world will never have. Power and authority in the name of Jesus. In the authority of Jesus, we have that as Christians. That should make us the happiest, most joyful people in the world, regardless of what happens. Regardless of what might happen. Let me tell you something. And it's not going to get any better, church. The world is not going to get any better. It's not. Jesus said it wasn't. On his return. And let me tell you something. And he can return at any time. At any time. But once again, We have to do what God calls us to do and tell us to do. Now, I'm telling you what God said in His Word. So I'm prophesying to you. This is prophesying is reading God's Word. Now, and what God tells us to do. Now, there's a prophetic prophecy also of hearing from God and speaking the words of God. But we need to be careful about that too. We need to be careful about that. When I prophesy to you, and there's times when God does use me in the prophetic. There's times when He does. I don't claim to be a prophet or anything else, but there's times and season where God will give me a word of knowledge for somebody, a word of wisdom for somebody of that nature. But I'm careful about delivering it. I say, I believe this is what God is speaking to you through me. I believe it is. You know, because we prophesy in part. You know, back in the old days, if a prophet prophesied something and said, thus says the Lord, and it didn't happen, you know what happened to them? Stoned them. Stoned them. Killed them. Dead. But we have so many false prophets and false teachers these days that people are flocking to. Flocking to. Psalms 118:8. Y'all know it, church. I say it all the time. Psalms 118:8, middle of the Bible. It's better to put trust in the Lord than put confidence in man. That's any man, including me. Because I can fail you. But let me tell you something. God will never fail you. He will never fail you. Hallelujah. So you put your trust and your confidence in God. Now, yes, you know, I'm the under-shepherd of the church here. You know, and I'm going to try my best to tell you, you know, the right things to do. But there's sometimes, you know, I can fail. Sometimes I have failed. And as long as I'm on this side of glory, there's going to be some wrong decisions and bad choices. We all make them. But there's no wrong decisions and bad choices in God's Word. None. None. So today, if you're sitting here and you got some dead stuff in your life, some dead relationships, some things that you think that would never ever live again or be right again, I'm here to tell you today that God will restore, renew, and bring life into those dead things in your life. I told you back when I first got saved and I was out the Lord spoke to me through His Spirit that I'm going to be preaching and teaching and preaching around the world. And I'm sitting there, I'm thinking, this ain't no way. No way. All the stuff I done in my life. No way that I'm going to be. I couldn't even leave the county, let alone going around the world. But I started believing what God said to me. I started believing what God said to me. And I'm so thankful that I didn't continue to run, because I ran from God many years. But He said, you can run, but you can't hide. You can run, but you can't hide. And you know why? Because He had a purpose and a plan for my life. Even when I was out there living as a sinner and a heathen, God knew that June the 5th, the year of our Lord, 2022, that I would be standing before you proclaiming and declaring the Word of God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And it's only by His grace and mercy am I standing before you. Trust me on that. God has so much for each and every one of us if we would hear still small voice and obey Him. And obey Him and trust Him and love Him. That's what we have to do, church. Now, as I look out into the congregation, I don't know. But it might be one here this morning that have not yielded. There might be one here this morning that have not done this. Y'all know what this is. Brother Carmen, he's a soldier. Matter of fact, he's been soldiering for 32 years now. I didn't know he'd been that long. He don't even look 32 years old. But he's a soldier, 32 years. And so when you're on the battlefield, my brother, and the enemy does this, what does that mean? Surrender. I surrender. I stop doing what I want to do, but I surrender. Have we all surrendered this morning? Have we all surrendered this morning? Is there one here that might not have truly surrendered your life to Jesus? You might say a little prayer. But has your life changed? Has your life been like those in the valley of dry bones? That you went from one extreme to living for Jesus? That's how you know that you know that you know if you're truly saved. Your life will be changed just like those dry bones was changed. But as I say, it's a process. In order to start the process, the first thing that you have to do, Lord, I surrender. So if there's any here this morning that have not, you can this morning. You can this morning. This could be your greatest day of your life today. Because once again, Jesus is coming back. And you don't want to stand before him and have not raised the flag of being surrendered. You don't want to do that. Trust me. So if you're here this morning and you have not, I'm going to ask every eye closed and every head bowed. Every eye closed and every head bowed. No peeking. And I'm going to ask you, if that's you this morning and the Holy Spirit is telling you this morning, I'm knocking on the door of your heart. All I want you to do is open up the door and let me come in. If you want that to happen, just raise your hand. Praise the Lord. 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 Amen. For those of you who have raised your hand, you know, I usually would ask you to stand up and come up front, but I'm not going to do that today because this is between you and God. And this is not a ritual that we do, but this is something that only God will do. So if you raised your hand, or if you didn't raise your hand and you say, well, I need to raise my hand, I'm going to ask you to pray this prayer with me. And then after the service, come and tell me, Pastor, I prayed the prayer. I surrendered my life today. Just pray this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, I come before you today believing that Jesus Christ, your Son, died on the cross, shed his blood for my sins. He rose again on that third day that he's seated in heaven next to you. I'm confessing this day that I'm yielding my life to you. All of my life will be yielded to you. And I will accept the free gift of salvation by faith this day. And I will live for you forevermore. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Let me say something to you. If you prayed that prayer and it's been real, you will be just like those dry bones. God will start bringing you together. Like I said, it's a process. He'll start bringing you together. He'll start putting things on you and taking things out of you. And the next thing you know, you'll be standing just like they were. An exceedingly great army for the Lord. So if you did that today, let me tell you something. When you stand before the Lord, if it was real, your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. How good is that? How good is that? Don't get no better than that. Don't you love Jesus? Yes. Amen, amen. Well, I want to thank you all for coming. New people, I want you to know something. We preach Jesus Christ, period, here. We don't give you our opinions about nothing, you know, a swing from the chandeliers, most of the time, anyway. But we want you to know that we're just everyday regular people, and we love you. We love you. And if you want to come back next week, guess what we're going to be preaching? Jesus. We're going to preach in Jesus. Jesus Christ, period. So thank you for coming. God bless you. Let's remember Monday night, the Rose of Sharon. Where's she at? 6 o'clock. The Rose of Sharon for hurting women. If you're going through some stuff, you know what I mean? Whatever it might be spouse abuse. You might have lost somebody, or you might be hurting or depressed or mad or whatever. They're down there every Monday night, and it's all confidential. It's all women. Tuesday night, prayer meeting at 6 o'clock here. Wednesday night, 7 o'clock, Bible. No. Wednesday night, Andrew Eastman. Andrew Eastman at 6:30 right here. It's absolutely free. If you have not been blessed by the Eastmans, let me tell you, you're missing something. And this brother, you're talking about somebody who operates in the prophetic? Oh, let me tell you something. He reads your mail. He don't know you from Adam. Well, let me tell you something. He will read your mail. Of the years that he's been coming here, he's been spot on. So come and be blessed. And see, what else is going on? That's Wednesday. Friday morning, women's Bible study. I'm so blessed behind that, I don't know. We've got a women's Bible study on Friday morning at 10 o'clock. 10:30, that's what I said. 10:30. All right. God bless you, Pastor Jesse. I need to see you real quick when you come down the steps here, and I'll see you in a minute. But anyway, the rest of you, God bless you, love you, and have a great, 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 great day.